All right, today, we're going to talk about character. I want you to look to your neighbor and say, you need to work on your character. Go ahead and tell them that right now. You need to work on your character. That's dirty. That's messed up. You said that, man. Now, we're talking about character today. We're talking about how to get your character changed. How many of you guys would like to be a better person? Anyone in here want to be a better person? Okay, the rest of y'all are satisfied. Good for you. I'm ready to be even better than before. And I know that character sometimes, how many of you guys have ever heard somebody say, that's just my personality? You guys ever hear someone say that before? I love that excuse because that's just an excuse to have bad character. That's what that is, you know? There's an excuse to have bad character to say, that's my personality. Your character, you as a person, are moldable. That's right. I want to say that again. You as a person are moldable. Even with studies that show that genetics play a part of who you are, it is still a moldable thing. Now, how many of you guys are so thankful that you could change? Anyone in here thankful that you could change? I'm so thankful for that. I don't know about you, but I was a way worse person not too long ago. Anyone in here feel that? Man, not too long ago, I wasn't as good of a person as I am today. I'm so thankful for the changes in my life. And today, I'm going to preach on something about character, and I want to just really show you why you want to change, why you want your character to be formed. But I don't want to just start with that. If you haven't noticed, if this is your first time here, you're going to hate me a little bit. Is that cool? You're going to hate me a little bit. How many introverts are in this house right now? Anybody introverts? Look at you. Good job. Wow, look at that. That was brave. That was brave. Good for you. I make you talk to each other, and I'm so sorry. I just do it for one reason, though, because I know that you could get a good sermon anywhere. How many of you guys have listened to a good sermon on your phone before? Anyone ever done that before? Yeah, me too. But you're at church to be with people. So I want you to look at that person just to say, I'm sorry, he's going to make me talk to you. Go ahead and say that to him right now. Come on, find somebody. I can see you looking at me. You need to look at the girl behind you. Yeah, you need to just tell him, now, I'm sorry. Now, I'm going to make you talk. Because church is more than a sermon and worship. Church is about gathering together. But character, it's defined as the inward set of moral qualities, values, and habits that define how a person consistently thinks, speaks, acts, especially when no one's watching. Especially when no one's watching. We're going to talk about that today because I want to tell you, God is most concerned about your character. Jesus wants not us just to have good works. He wants us to have good character. Now, I spent the last 3 weeks really preaching on how to change your heart because from your heart, your character comes out, okay? And I want to make this really clear. How many of you guys know Jesus is after your heart? That's a real thing. He wants your whole inside to change, but he wants that because he's looking at character. And he talks about a bunch of different stuff about being hidden. And we're going to talk about those things. But first, I want to really point out that God wants not just your church attendance. Though, how many of you guys love going to church? Anyone in here love going to church? I love church, doll. That's it. The rest of y'all were forced to come in, huh? I'm sorry. I don't know who forced you. I love coming to church. I love seeing you guys. I personally love reading the Bible, especially the more entertaining parts. You guys know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about Numbers. I'm talking about Judges and Matthew. I like those parts of the Bible, man. There's things that I like. I'm all about that. But God's not looking for you and I just to give him some parts of our life. He's looking at you as a person. He's looking at you as a whole person, your secret life. In fact, you'll read in scriptures when Jesus is speaking and he's instructing about prayer. He says, don't pray publicly, but rather he says, pray in secret. That no one would even know what you're doing. In fact, he even says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. He says, I want you to move in secrecy when it comes to your good works. He goes on about fasting. He says, man, when you fast, don't let everybody know. How many of you guys have ever fasted and you wanted people to know that you're fasting? You've ever done that before? That's basically every time I fast. I just want you to know that. My wife will be like, you want something to eat? I'm like, no, I'm fasting right now. I'm holy, you know? No, but he says, man, no, do it in secret. And he says this, he makes a promise. He says, if you do this in secret, I will bless you publicly. But you know why he wants you to do it in secret? Because he doesn't want you doing him favors. He wants your character to be something different. He says, I want you to do it in secret so your character is something different. I want you to pray, not publicly so everyone thinks you're so holy. He says, I want you to pray in secret, because he's not concerned about how well you could pray. He's concerned about what you do in secret, your character. And we talked about this on Wednesday, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit today. Your secret life is what God wants. And let me just explain secret life, because I don't think most of you guys are going around living a double life. I hope. But I'm talking about the life that you don't expose to everybody else. Now, I talked about this on Wednesday night. Man, we're just kind of reading through Matthew and digging in the scripture. I'm loving it personally. If you should tune in. Thank you. Flavia is loving it too. It's a lot of fun. But one of the things we talked about is our fear of the Father is less than our fear of man. And we could figure that out by what you're willing to tell God versus what you're willing to tell other people. What sins you're too afraid to confess. Have you ever thought about that before? That the things that you may do in secret, you do your best. You're more ashamed if other people found out about your sin than knowing that God knows about your sin. And we talked about how there's this inward flesh that we have that's been kind of, honestly, the enemy is really after your secret life, like majorly, because he knows what your secret life affects. It's your character. And so he's after your secret life. He's after those moments when you're home all alone. Yesterday, it was a lot of fun. Yesterday, I came home, and I came home a little bit late from outreach. We went out and did a doctor block and Love Our City. How many of you guys go out on Saturdays? It is the best ministry. I love it. Okay. Not one person raised their hand, but it is awesome, and you should go out. And so I was out there, and I got home a little bit late, and so my wife took the kids to a celebration. My two little kids are softball champs this year. They won the championship in softball. Yeah, I know. They're going to go to the big leagues. And so they had a celebration, and she's like, hey, listen, I'll go to the celebration. And we had a party after that at like 1 o'clock in the neighborhood. So she's like, I'll go to the celebration. I'll come back, and we'll go out to the party. So I said, okay, sweet. So I was home alone. Man. Now you guys, some of you guys are home alone all the time, but I got seven kids, and a dog and a cat. And I seriously was like in the house. I didn't know what to do with myself. It was incredible. I was so excited about it that I think I wasted all my time. You guys ever done that before? You got so excited that you wasted your time? But you know what I did that entire time? I started with, I'm going to do some work. That's what I thought. I'm going to do some work. And I had a list of things. I had about 2 hours by myself. I got like 2 hours. Let me see what I could do. So I thought, I'll get some work in. I thought I should work out because I got a buddy, Ryan, who's been encouraging me to work out. He thinks I'm weak. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to start working out. And then I thought maybe I could take a little nap. When's the last time you took a nap? You know, I'm thinking that would be cool. And so I was like, man, I'm going to sit there. And you know what I did instead? I got on Instagram. And within like, and I don't know how it works, but you know, like television, like 45 minutes in, it felt like 2 minutes. I'm thinking, man. So I'm like, okay, well, I better do some work. So I made a few phone calls and I did some work. And then before I knew it, I woke up. I fell asleep. I'm thinking, oh, shoot. And then my family was back. And that's what I did with my personal time. And I kind of chuckled at myself and I didn't beat myself up, but I did notice something that like, me personally, when I wake up in the morning, because I like to wake up, and I got these habits that I practice. We're going to talk about habits. But when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to tell you something I really love to do. I love entertainment. Like, I legit love entertainment. And maybe you're not, like, on Instagram, but maybe you like the news. And just to pop your bubble, that's your entertainment. You're enjoying it. You're loving it. You love the fight. You love the ideas of, like, you're right and they're wrong or vice versa. And, you know, I really like entertainment, and I've kind of looked at my secret life, and I've noticed something, that I'm a way better, and this sounds terrible, but I'm just going to say it. I'm a way better Christian publicly often, more than I am a Christian privately. And that's a scary thought, because I'm saying that as your pastor, so that's probably really scary, but I'm also saying that because I know that you have that too. There's a public persona, and then there's a private persona. And I want to say this. The Father is not concerned with your public persona. He wants your private persona. He wants the person in secret. What are you thinking about? What habits and values do you have? And the reason why I say that is because we know what we're supposed to say. How many of you guys notice we know the right things to say? Anyone in here raised in church? Man, I was raised in church. I could talk Christianese all day long, man. I know how to speak like a Christian. I know how to give you the right answer. People have asked, if you could have one wish, what would it be? I'd be like, there would be no more sin in the world. You know, I know what the right answers are. But there's a reality. There's this other part of me that deep down inside, if I was sitting by myself, I had any wish, I'd be like, I don't know. You know, honestly, I actually know. My wishes are so lame. I'm not going to tell you. I wish I could teleport. Wouldn't that just be amazing? And not for the glory of God. I wish I could teleport, because how much time would you save if I could just be there? Wouldn't that be amazing? But I know what to say, but the Father's going, man, I'm after this character, the thing you consistently think about, speak about, act on, your habits, your values, when no one's watching. And he makes it clear, I don't want a public prayer life. I want your secret place. I don't want your public fasting. I want the secret part of you that nobody else is going to see and no one else is going to be able to judge. I want the part that you're free from everybody else's opinions. That's the part he says, I want more than anything. And here's the deal. So many people in their secret life do not have holiness, and their secret life is where all their sin is kept. Have you ever noticed that? That's where all your struggles are, is in the secret place, in that place that no one else can see. And you're okay with the Father knowing it because you don't have a choice. But man, if anybody else knew some of the secrets that you have in your thought life, the things that you're pondering when you're laying on your bed, the worry and anxiety that you have, and you know to say, well, God's good all the time, but you're at home and you just got this fear and anxiety gripping you. And the Father's going, man, this is the character I want. This is the place that I say, yeah, that's the one I love. That's the one I chose. That's the servant of mine. And so many of us are okay with not character, but with the ability to put on a persona before everybody else and think that's going to be enough. But the Father's looking in the secret place. Can I just pray something over us really quick? Father, will you steal back our secret place today? God, will you get us in the place again, Jesus, that when we're at home alone, or Father, when we wake up in the morning, or when we're in our thoughts, or when we're driving, Jesus, that our secret place would be more holy than the public place in our lives. Oh, Father, that there would be a secret with you, Jesus, that our character would be defined, Father, because of how we sit with you and no one else is watching, how we pray and we soak in the word. The Father is after your thoughts, your secret life. And there's some people in the Bible I want to point out who had killer character, man, because I don't want to just talk about character, but there's this guy, Cornelius. If you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 10, 1 through 8, I'm going to read it to you. This guy is a Gentile. He's the first guy that the Lord's really using for the gospel of the kingdom of God to go out amongst the Gentiles. Now, to give you some context for those who maybe don't know this, Jesus came to minister to the children of Abraham, those who he promised. And he made the promise very clear in the book of Genesis that the gospel was for everybody, that through Jesus, every single nation, not just Jewish nation, every single nation would be blessed. But he made a promise that he would come to them first, to minister to them first. And what happens is Jesus gets crucified, raises from the dead, and there's this day called Pentecost. By the way, happy Pentecost. That's today. Happy Pentecost. And on this day, 2,025 years ago, there were a bunch of Jewish men and women were up in an upper room, and they were praying to the Father in heaven, waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. And when the Holy Spirit did come, so many Jews started turning towards the Lord. There was something that was prophesied that was amazing. Jewish people were receiving Christ and going, this is my Messiah. And 3,000 were saved on that day. Man, I should preach on Pentecost. What am I doing, man? I messed up, man. 3,000 saved that day. Then you go a few chapters down because they're ministering to all the Jews. But the Father says, wait a minute, there's some other people I want you to minister to. It's these Gentiles. And so he talks to Peter, and we're going to pick up the story about this Gentile man. Verse 1 says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. Time out. I don't hear enough Italians saying Jesus spoke to us first. That's an incredible. If you're Italian in this place, you should start saying it was the Jews and the Italians. You know, that was a devout man. Check this out. Verse 2 is really important. He was a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So the angel said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up to a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what to do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called to his household servants and a devout soldier who among those were waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to him, he sent them to Joppa. The rest of the story is Peter shows up and the Lord tells him, listen, this is for everybody. This good news is for everybody. And again, the Lord emphasizes something about Cornelius. This guy was generous and he prayed all the time. You know what I love about this story? Is God could have chose anybody in the world to be the first Gentile to receive the gospel, but he looked for a man with character. Who's the one who sits and prays all the time? Who's the one who's generous? Who's the one who sits before the Father? Who's the one who has a habit, who values this? You see, Cornelius was a man with character, and the Father had favor on him. How many of you guys would like some favor from the Heavenly Father? Anyone in here? Me too. He says it's character. Another person who had great character is in Daniel. It is Daniel. In the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 10. Daniel was going to get promoted. He was about to be a big shot in the kingdom. And he's a Jewish man in a really Babylonian country. And as he's waiting for this promotion, he had some jealous people. And this is what they did. They decided, how can we get this man, Daniel, to fall? How can we make him a bad guy? How can we get rid of him? And so they watched his character, how he acted, how he behaved, what habits and values he had. And what they found about Daniel is that Daniel prayed. I want to ask you a quick question. How many of you guys, if a friend had to describe you, would say they pray all the time? Wouldn't that be the best thing? Oh man, I wish people would say about Pastor Tommy. Yeah, there's one thing I know about Pastor Tommy. He prays. That's a character. That's a value. That's a habit. And they look at Daniel and go, man, this guy prays all the time. So what they do is they make up a law. They say, well, we got an idea. Let's go to the king. Let's you know, pray on his ego. We'll tell the king, if anyone prays to anybody else but you, let's kill him. The king, egotistic, says, that sounds great. The law comes out. And check out Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing had been signed, he went home. And in the upper room with his windows wide open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day. And he prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. As was his custom since early days. What that scripture is saying is that Daniel had the characteristic, a character, a habit, a value, something that he practiced often, that he was doing since he was a kid. And the only thing the enemy could go after was his character. He's a praying man. This is someone that God had great favor. If you don't know the rest of this story, well, you weren't raised in church. So I'll just tell you real quick. They throw him in the lion's den to kill him, and the Lord shuts the lion's mouth, and the lions will not touch him. He's then saved after that, and the guys who put that law up get killed right after that. But I see something again. There's favor for those who have character. God moves amongst those who have character. But there's another thing that I see in scriptures. I'm just going to kind of run through this without telling you all the scriptures. But if you read the book of Matthew, you're going to find something. Jesus has a problem with people who don't have character. He would look at the Pharisees. And he would look at the Pharisees and go, man, you guys dress the part. You're the first ones in church. You're the last ones to leave. You guys are dressed to the nines. How many guys, I'm sorry I don't dress nice for church. Is that disrespectful? I hope not. I think it's cool, man. What's up, dude? Someone asked me the other day, they said, does your church kind of get frustrated that you have long hair and you wear t-shirts? So, I don't know, man. I didn't think about it. But man, these guys were dressed to the nines. These guys could pray every prayer out loud. These guys know how to talk about the Bible. But he calls them whitewashed tombs. He says, man, publicly you have this beautiful appearance, but secretly you're filthy and dirty. Man, you got this beautiful outward appearance, man. You know how to worship. You know how to dance. You know how to sing. I mean, we talked about this last week a little bit, about how these people would worship God, and they would show up, and they would dance and praise. But he knew their secret life, and so he looked at them and said, you're worse. You're worse than the guy who's out there dealing drugs. You're worse than the guy who's out there looking at pornography, because at least they're proud of it. You do it secretly and try to fool everybody with your persona, your public persona. So we see this with the Lord. He goes, man, I look for those who in secret have these things. So I want to just go down a road, and this isn't long. I don't got a ton to go down, but I want to talk to you about how do you get character. How do you change your character? How do you get from a wicked character to a good character? How do you become someone better? So I want you to look to your neighbor right now. And I want you to say, you better listen up. Go ahead, tell him right now. And this is why you need to listen up, because this applies to you. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 4. It's one of my favorite scriptures. It says this, talking about tribulation. He says, you know, and tribulation means a hard time, mostly persecution from the outside coming in. He says, man, you should rejoice in it. And he says this in verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Everyone say perseverance. Perseverance. And perseverance produces character. Everyone say character. Character. And character produces hope. I love what he says right here, because I used to read this, and it's true. I don't want to take anything from the scripture. I want to make sure you understand this very clearly. When you and I stay in the faith, even through tribulation, he says it builds your character. And when you have great character, your hope will be increased. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I know that there is a lack of hope in the church because there's a lack of character in the church. And there's a lack of desiring the end times and his return. I know too many Christians who don't have the hope of his return. They're wishing that he won't show up until they're really old just so they can avoid death. But they're waiting and going, God, I'd rather you not take me. Their hope is diminished. Eternity is not something they look forward to. There is a lack of hope because of a lack of character. Now, I'm saying that because I'm not going to go down that road. I want you to go down that road on your own. But I do want to talk about what he says creates character. It's perseverance. And oftentimes, I used to think that character, I would judge myself, that character was based on what I did. And so this is what I would do. Sometimes I would go through character, like, you know, I'd feel bad about myself. So I would see someone in need, and I'd fulfill their need, and I'd feel better about myself. You guys ever done that before? You feel this like, oh, I'm not that good of a person. So you sign up to go out with us on a Thursday night and you go, wow, I feel so much better now. And what we do is we judge our character based on the acts that we've done in the past. In fact, if I was to ask you, are you a good person? You would say, yeah. Most of us would, some of us are a little bit more aware of ourselves. And I'd say, what makes you a good person? You know what most of us do? We list the things that we've done at some point in our life. Well, you know, like I've given money to the poor. You think in your head, it's like 3 times in your life, you know, like I've done that. You know, I've forgiven, you know, people who are mean to me. And you start going over this list of deeds that you've gone. But when I read this scripture, it says perseverance is what produces character. And what that implies, if you know anything about perseverance, by the way, means steadfastness, endurance, not quitting, not letting go. Even when things are difficult, painful, even when things are stressful, your inner strength keeps going. That's perseverance. You don't let go. You don't quit. When I look at character, character is not defined by what you've done. Character is defined by what you won't let go in your life. I want to say that again. Character is not defined by what you've done. Rather, it's defined by what you won't let go, what you hang on to, what you hang on to with a vice grip. You're not going to let that thing go. That defines character. Because when I look at Daniel and I say, man, that guy had a character of prayer, what do we notice? It didn't matter what was going on the outside. He wouldn't let prayer be something he didn't do, even if it cost him his life. That's character. Your character is produced by what you persevere through. So let me just say something that's going to maybe hurt your feelings a little bit. Some of us, our character isn't the few things we've done in the past. Your character is that stinking addiction you got. Your character is that unforgiveness you just can't let go of. Your character, man, so many of us in there go, yeah, my character is, I love the Word of God and I stand on it. Brother, sister, you can't open that book up for more than 3 days straight. You will let that thing go as soon as you're too tired. Your character is defined not by what you have done, but what you won't let go of. Now, when you start seeing character as that way, all of a sudden you start defining yourself a little bit. Wait a minute, what are the things that I won't let go of? Because I got bitterness in my heart and I see myself as a good person because I've forgiven people, but this time I just can't seem to get, I can't seem to persevere and get through this. I feel like I'm still hanging on. My perseverance isn't towards the godly things. My perseverance is towards the ungodly things. Some of us are more steadfast and have endurance in our job more than we do with our Christian walk. Some of us have more endurance for money and success. And I'm not talking about being rich. I'm talking about being satisfactory. I'm talking about getting to the place where you feel good about your finances. I'm not talking about being a millionaire. I'm talking about some of us are so worried about money that our character is actually directed towards that. You know why I say that one? Because I know that one has a grip on us. We're a rich nation. Look to your neighbor and say, you got money. Just tell them. They don't know it. Just tell them, you got money. You don't know it. I know you don't know. I know you think you're broke. One of my favorite jokes, by the way, I could talk about this. One of my favorite jokes is to tell people they're rich. It's the funniest thing. You should start doing it. Anybody. It doesn't matter how poor they are. Go, man, you're rich. They'll squirm. Like, no, I'm not. God, I know people with yachts, lake houses, beach houses. I'm like, man, you're rich. Like, well, I'm not that rich, you know. People don't want to be rich. I'm going to tell you right now, man, you're loaded. If you have a full world view, you're richer than you could ever imagine. You're the 1%. Isn't that crazy that you're the 1%, the homeless in our country are the 1% in this world? You're rich. Why do I tell you that? Because I know that money has a grip on you. And some of us, our character is not, I'm one who pursues the Father regardless. Some of us, we have a more perseverance and not giving up for that. Financial freedom. I love financial freedom, but financial freedom means you don't need finances no more. I really believe financial freedom is in the relationship with your finances, not whether or not you have enough finances. That's a whole different sermon, but I'm saying that because, man, some of us got perseverance. There's things we won't let go. Some of you guys are in relationships you should not be in. Some of us got friendships that you should not be in. And you'd rather endure that than pursue the gospel of Christ. Some of us do better in tribulations at work than we would with tribulations and being hated for being a Christian. Then he says, this is where your character is exposed. What are you willing to hang on to? What are you hanging on to? Let me ask you that one more time. What are you hanging on to? I got to make this clear. Your character is not your imagination of who you think you are. Because we're all guilty of that. I know you think you're better than everybody else in character. And, you know, there's Mother Teresa and stuff, but you're pretty much better than everybody else. I know you got a bias. I know it's not that. I know it's not your ideal self. Your characters aren't what you have done or what you used to be. It's what you're willing to hang on to. I want to ask you that question. You need to answer it in your own heart. What are the things that you're not willing to let go of? What are the things that you're not willing to just say, you know what? I've been hanging on to this for so long, and now it's producing my... Some of us think our character... Man, I got to say this just real quick. Your character is being produced by the things you won't let go. Can I say that again? Your character is being produced by the things you won't let go. I know I've said that a million times, but I just feel like maybe you're not catching this. Your character is produced by what you won't let go. I just want to say forgiveness one more time, because I just feel in my heart, man, there's people who've been really damaged by really mean people, and you've been really hanging on to this bitterness, and you keep thinking, God, change me, and he said, I will change you if you'll stop persevering through unforgiveness. And if you could give that up, I'll produce a new character inside of you. Someone's got so much bitterness. And I want to make this clear. In my opinion and in your neighbor's opinion, you got every right to hang on to that bitterness. There's been things that have happened in this room that are way beyond disgusting. But that's why the Father says, man, persevere with me. You want to know what your character, you want me to produce great character in you? Then endure with me. Don't let go of my teachings. He says, those who hang on to my teachings is like a man who builds his house on a rock. And when the winds and waves blow, they will not be moved. That's the kind of character I want to have. Oh, Father, my character is I'm unmoved. How many of you guys know that's the kind of character you want? Unmoved by the things of this world. He says, man, you want that? Then you got to be someone who perseveres through my teachings. Have you guys ever read Jesus' teachings and thought, I don't think I want to agree with that? He says, but this is where your character is developed. What will you hang on to? You want to know people who have bad character? You have people who can't surrender to the Father the things they are hanging on to. They won't give up to hang on to the things of Christ. I know a bunch of people who I would think shouldn't have good character because I look at their past. I've seen what they've done in the past. Yeah, I could use my parents, but there's a better guy I would like to talk to you guys about. He passed away. He was one of my dear friends. His name was Doug Parsons. He was the meanest dude you've ever met. When my dad first met him, because he ended up being my good friend, we went to Africa together, Kenya, and we did all these mission trips together. But when my father first met him, he met him at a motorcycle shop. And he had a .45 in his back pocket. And my dad saw it and said, what is that, your wife's gun? Just to roast the dude for fun, right? And the dude said, what the F did you say to me, you know? And started cussing him out. And my dad just joked around with him. Ends up, he was the main foreman for building this park right here in Old Fourth Ward. So my dad says, yeah, I'm a pastor out here. He says, oh, that's where you're at. So he started coming to church. And this hardened guy, in his past, by the way, he did a lot of bad things. But one of my favorite things he did was he was a coke dealer. He would fly an airplane from Mexico to the United States illegally with a bunch of coke. That's what he did for fun. So this guy's a bad dude. When I'd ask him about his past, he was never excited about telling me, but he would tell me some of the worst things you've ever seen. But when he got saved, and he got saved in this church, and before he passed away, majorly, he gave his life fully to the Lord. And this is what he did. He decided that he was going to release everything that he was living his life for. And he said, you know what? I'm going to follow after Christ. And that dude, he didn't really clean up his language that well, you know, but it was whatever. He did pretty good. And he came in, and every day at worship, he would walk right up to the front, and he would just bawl his eyes out because he couldn't believe that God wanted him. And, you know, he was this like 6'2", tattoos, looked kind of like a skinhead, honestly. And he would just cry out to the Father. And it was something really interesting about that guy is I looked at him and I saw a character that was godly. Because when he decided to change his life, everybody around him roasted him. Everybody roasted him. Not us as Christians, but all of his unbelieving friends. You know, he became a Christian guy, and he would always tell him, no, Jesus really saved my life, and you have to believe in that stuff, you know? He lost friends over it. But he said, I'm not going to try to hang on to my friends. That's not what I'm running the race for. I'm running this for Jesus. And what he did is he said, I'm going to hang on to the teachings of Christ. And he would come in here, and he would bring his Bible, and he would ask his questions. Well, what am I supposed to do with this? You know, I really have to forgive all these guys? Yes, Doug, you got to forgive these guys. And some of these guys, it wasn't like they said mean things to him. Some of these guys, he was a gangster. Some of these guys killed his good friends. And he would sit there and he would cry and go, well, then I want that. I'll release everything else. I want to hang on to Jesus. The guy only lived about 5 years after he got saved. He ended up dying of cancer. But I'm going to tell you something about Doug. If I was to describe his character, I wouldn't describe him by the works that he did in his past. I would describe him as a man who wouldn't release the teachings of Christ in his life. This guy was a murderer, he was a sicko, he was a druggie, he did all that stuff in his past. But his character wasn't defined by what he did, it was by what he wouldn't let go of. And he said, I'm gonna let go of the world, I'm gonna cling to Jesus. And every trial he went through, and he went through a ton of them, including, I wanna get healed from this cancer, but I'm not getting healed. He said, it doesn't matter, I'm going to endure, I'm gonna hang on to him. And he clung to Jesus to the day of his death. He went and covered up all of his tattoos. They're all a bunch of demons. He put crosses on them, man. It was awesome. But what was he doing? He wasn't a man who was going to endure for anything else but Christ and Christ alone. And by doing so, he had character. And by having character, he had the favor of God in his life. His daughter, he lost to the streets and all sorts of terrible things that she was doing after he got saved. She returned to him and got saved herself. God restored his marriage, blessed him with a grandson that he was able to adopt and raise in Christ. Favor overcame his life because he said, I'm going to endure with Christ, not the world. I'm not gonna fight for everything else, but I'm gonna endure in the teachings of Christ. I give you this example of Doug because I wanna hit you real quick. What's your character? What's producing your character? What is it that you're hanging on to? What is the thing that you grip onto and say, I won't let this go? It's the thing that's producing character in you. Now, I want to talk about something really quick because I know you want a better character, and this is where I'm going to end. If you're taking notes, I probably should have started this 15 minutes ago, but I'm going to just start on it now. Now, I'll get it done quick. So I talked about where it comes from. But I want to talk to you about how to change your character. To become someone who has the discipline in your life to endure the godly things versus the fleshly things. And this is how you produce character. If you want to have endurance, this is how you start. You start with simple disciplines. A discipline is doing something regardless of what happens. And if I could give you a simple discipline, it would be this. Pick up your Bible every single day. That's the easiest one, and you know it. You want to produce a character in you that believes the word of God. You want to be someone who people say, man, I know so-and-so, their character is this. The first way to have great character is to have yourself disciplined. I love this. I think you should do this. Read a chapter every single day. When you get real crazy for the Lord, do the Bible plan. Don't skip a day. Decide in yourself. Everybody has the same amount of time, so you don't have, it's not that you don't have enough time. That's not a time problem. Make yourself someone who says every single day, I'm gonna read the word of God. I'm gonna discipline myself. I wanna be someone who endures. I wanna have perseverance in knowing who God is. Make that your goal. Read it even when it's not fun, when you're in numbers. Discipline yourself. Be someone who says, you know what, God, I want better character in my life. I want to be someone who's godly like Daniel or Cornelius or Peter or John or Doug. I want to be someone with great character. Be someone who says that I'm going to beat my flesh and it doesn't matter. And listen, I want to say something to you. You are a disciplined person. Look to your neighbor and say, you are a disciplined person. Tell them that right now. You're just disciplined in the things you want to be disciplined in. And that might be eating at midnight every night. That might be five meals a day for all I know. You're disciplined, but you want to have a better character? Discipline your flesh. And start saying to yourself, you know what? I'm going to pray every single day. And it doesn't matter if it's only for 5 minutes. I do this. I used to do this a ton. I would set a 5-minute timer because I decided my character is not what I want it to be. And I want to change it. So I decided I'm going to start enduring in the things of Christ. And he tells me to pray daily, then I'm going to pray daily. So I'd set a 5-minute timer. I put the timer to the side so I couldn't see it. I say, okay, God, I'm here to talk to you. Whatever you want me to do, I want to do. And I want you to know how much I love you. And for 5 minutes, and when that timer would go off, I'd put it in my pocket. I'd go throughout the rest of the day, and the next morning I'd wake up, 5-minute timer. And I just decided, okay, I'm gonna be someone who produces character by persevering in my life. I wanna start building habits, things that I'm going to do every single day. And I don't care what it costs me, this will be my character. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be like Daniel. Even if it cost me my life, this is now my discipline. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to read the word and I'm going to pray to you, Father. This is going to be my discipline every single day. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to praise you before I drink my coffee. Father, I'm going to fast. I love this one. I'm going to make a habit of fasting. Because I don't want a character that's known for gluttony. I want a character for one who sacrifices for you. Do you want to produce character? Discipline yourself. Find the characteristics you know you're supposed to be doing. Start getting in your work. I just want to say this about the word, because I got to say this about the Bible. So many of us live out of what we used to do. We used to have a wild relationship with the Lord. I want to talk to the seasoned Christian. I want to talk to the seasoned Christian for a second, because you've been on my heart. You've been so satisfied with what your walk used to be that you stopped enduring. And your character, you keep trying to rely on, you know, those times where you had this great Bible study and these great moments and your prayer life was really heavy. And you keep saying, well, that's who I was and that's who I am. That's where I can be. But I'm looking at you going, but if you don't have endurance in that stuff anymore, and it just got too hard to read the Bible every day and it's not so good and you're not getting as much and you're quitting, I'm going to tell you, you have no perseverance. The Bible's not building your character. You've never heard anyone say this before, but daily reading develops your character. Daily prayer develops your character. Showing up and coming to church. Me and my wife, we're big on this. We never want to miss a Sunday. We're on vacation. We want to be at church because we know this builds character before the Father. Fasting, we don't want to fast once a year or once. We want to fast as much as we can because we know this builds character. And we know that the thing that God wants isn't these little sprinkled good deeds. He wants my character. The who I am. The what I practice. The thing that I do consistently. Even in secret. Actually, I love the definition, especially when no one else is looking. Church, you know why I preached on this? Because I kept looking at hope. I kept seeing so many believers dealing with hopelessness. But if you don't know this, that leads to all sorts of depressions. That leads to all sorts of anxieties and worries. And there's this hopelessness. And you know, when I think about the church, idealistically, we should be the most hopeful people to exist. There should be so much hope in us that our expectations of good things coming forth, it should be like, it's almost like it should define us. It's love that they'll know us by, but it's faith and hope, man. And I look at this and I go, man, I know why our hope is so little. I know why it's so little. It's because the things we're willing to persevere for are not the things of Him. If we would change that, our character would be built. And if we just became people like, I don't care if I get anything out of the Bible, I'm going to read it. I don't care if I get anything out of prayer, I'm going to pray. I don't care the price of forgiveness, I'm going to forgive. Like, I'm going to endure through this. Man, it says in scriptures that your character will be formed in hope. Hope will come out of you. All of a sudden, you'll look, you'll say, you know what? I see the clouds, but I know what the future holds. All of a sudden, a hope comes out of you. You go, man, I see how terrible things are, but I have character. I've been hanging on to the things of the Lord. I got hope today. Depression, you have no hold on me. Anxiety and worry, you have no hold on me. Restlessness, you have no hold on me. I'm persevering in the teachings of Christ. I'm persevering through Him. My character is intact. I got hope. The reason why I'm preaching this today is because I want you to be people who are known by your character, full of hope. Will you stand to your feet with me real quick? You close your eyes, bow your heads. I'm going 5 minutes longer than I planned on originally. But we're still out early, so thank you, Jesus. Because I'm hungry. and I have to use the restroom. Go ahead and close your eyes. If you're in this house, listen, I give a teaching on how to get character. It's also a teaching on how to see where your character is being produced from. You want to know why you act the way you act? Look at the things you won't let go in your life. And this could go through all sorts of stuff. Why you have bitterness towards generalized people. If that's political or race, that's going to tell you right now. It's because you're not letting go of something in your life. If you have bitterness in your heart, I'm going to tell you right now, it's because you can't let go of unforgiveness. And the Lord's saying, whatever you hang on to, whatever you persevere through, that's what your character gets produced from. And today I want to pray over you, because if you're someone like me, I'm going to have my hand up. You're going, man, I want my character to be produced by the teachings of Christ. Because I want hope in my life. I want to be someone who's overjoyed about the things of the future, not someone who's fearful, not someone who's in bleak. Someone who's overjoyed about what's to come. If you're in this house and you want me just to pray for you, I'm not going to have you come up to the altar. I'm just going to have you raise your hand real quick. But if you're in here and you want me just to pray over you that your character would start being produced by the things of God and that God would help you with habits and discipline, I just want you to raise your hand real quick. Father, you see every one of these hands. God, we go to church, Father, because we want the character of you to be described in us. Father, we want, Jesus, a transformation in our hearts. And so, God, I pray over every hand, and there's many in this room. God, I pray over every hand in this room. Father, we want our character to be produced, not by the things of this world, not by the worries and frets, not by the things that we've been hanging on to, but, Father, we want to have our character produced by hanging on to your teachings, by hanging on to you, Holy One. God, we want our disciplines, our habits, Father, not to be a reflection of what our flesh wants, because it keeps producing fleshly character. No, God, make our habits that are godly. Oh, let prayer and reading the Word of God be the thing that we say, we must do this. Oh, Father, let gathering together and loving and bearing with one another be the habit that we hang on to and say, I must endure in this. Oh, Father, I pray right now that generosity towards one another, Jesus, loving one another, God, that we say, I'm going to endure in this. Oh, Father, may we be people in the secret place who release, God, the addictions and the sins and the worries. Oh, Father, the bitterness. That, Jesus, the secret place would be cleaned up in our life. And that, God, we would start seeing our character being produced as godly character. That, God, we'd be people like Daniel or Cornelius or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That, Father, we'd be people whose character has been produced because we decided to persevere. We say it doesn't matter how we feel. We will continue to do what God's called us to do. We will continue to read our word. We'll continue to love one another. So God, I pray this over your brothers and sisters, over your sons and your daughters. Father, help us. Help us with what we persevere with. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hey, keep your heads bowed for just a second longer. Because if you're in this house and you've never given your life to the Lord, I'd be robbing you not to give you an opportunity. Jesus has a way for you. And it's so much better than you could ever imagine. And I'm not just talking about joy and peace. I'm talking about living out the reason why you were born. Purpose. If you're in this house today and you've never given your life to the Lord, I want to give you an opportunity today. I'm not going to have you come on stage. I'm not going to have everyone look at you. I'm just going to have you raise your hand. But not just you, because if you're in this house and you're backslidden, you know what backslidden is? If you're backslidden. And you want to come home today, I want to give you an opportunity to come home today. The Lord's waiting for you. He's waiting for you with joy. So if you're in this house today, you've never given your life to the Lord, or maybe you have and you walked away, but today you want to come home, all I want you to do is raise your hand real high for me. Come on, come on. That's what I'm talking about. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Listen, it's a lot of people for a crowd this size. I want to just speak to you for a second. We're going to say this prayer together. The whole church is going to say it because maybe someone didn't have the courage to speak or raise their hand. So all of us are going to say this prayer together. We're going to say it with you. But this prayer can mean everything or nothing. You've said empty words before. But today, I'm just going to tell you, if you mean this prayer with all your heart, I mean, it's where I started, and it's where all these brothers and sisters of mine started too. They said a little prayer. And this prayer isn't some magical prayer. It's just a little guideline to get you started. I want you to do me a favor. Don't just say this prayer like a prayer. I want you to say it from the bottom of your heart. Because I know something. It says, if you draw unto the Lord, he will draw unto you. And today when we pray this prayer, you're saying, God, I'm coming towards you. I'm going to tell you a little secret. He's going to run towards you. So for those five who raised their hand and everybody else in this church, can we say this prayer and can we say it with our whole heart? Will you guys all repeat after me? Dear Father, I need you right here, right now. Come into my life. Transform me. Make me new. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again. And today, I declare you Lord. I am yours, Holy One. So come into my life and make me new. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Church, it says in scriptures that when one turns their life to the Lord, when one turns their life, there's a celebration in heaven. Today there's four people. Can we show them what it sounds like in heaven for them right now?